Morning, Mission Viejo Church of Christ. What a great day, as always, to be in the house of the Lord. I hope that God has been good to you this past week and that you are looking forward to this upcoming week. And I'll be praying that you are a reflection of His blessings to the world. Pay no attention to the scrolling behind the screen. To our visitors this morning, I don't know what brought you here. I don't know if you're looking for a church home or you're just passing through, whatever the case is. We're excited and happy that you've decided to come and worship with us this morning. And as Aaron mentioned, there is a card in the back of your pew. Please take that out and fill it out and make sure you pass that in. We've got a box in the foyer that you can put that card into, or you can simply hand it to me at the conclusion of our service today. We want to make sure you get plugged into this church and that you call this church your home. I don't think that you'll find a better church in all of Mission Viejo. You are our honored guest, and again, thank you for being here. I hope that you had a very happy Valentine's Day, or as some like to call it, Singles Awareness Month. I just heard that for the first time. I hope that it was enjoyable for you. It looks like it. Everybody's smiling and happy, and that's good. We've got some good news this morning, and I hope I'm not missing anybody, but we've got a couple of new members here that I'd like to make mention of. These folk we actually got cards from, and they said they wanted to be members. There may be some here who have been thinking about membership and haven't kind of given us their information yet. We're waiting on you, okay? Time's a ticking. But there are two couples that I want to mention this morning. The first is Kim. Kim, and Kim, will you please stand to be recognized? And also, all right, let's give them a round of applause. All right, sit down. We've seen you around. You know. But then we also got Jarek and Brittany Griffin. If you will stand to be recognized. Thank you. Thank you very much. Please be seated. So you know Kim. Kim was a former Marine, so we're going to be praying for him every single day. But anyway, he was a Marine and just recently got out, and they're here in this region now. He was down at Camp Pendleton with his wife. And Jarek and Brittany come our way from the Naperville Church of Christ, which is out in Chicago. But they are native Texans, so we got more Texans out here. We'll pray for them too. Amen. And like I said, there may be a host of new members that I'm kind of missing because we don't have your information. Make sure you get that to us so that we can welcome you and love on you and call you when you're not here. Amen. No, I'm just kidding. But to make sure that we're reaching out and loving on you as well. One morning, a woman said to her husband, "I bet you don't know what day it is." "Of course I do," the husband answered. "Of course I do." And he said this while he was walking out of the door on his way to work. So at 11 a.m., the doorbell rang, and when the woman, the wife, opened the door, she was handed a box containing a dozen 12 long-stemmed roses. And then at 1 o'clock, a foil-wrapped box of her favorite chocolates from Ghirardelli arrived. And then later that afternoon, her favorite store delivered a designer dress. And the woman couldn't wait for her husband to come home. And when he walked in, she said, "First flowers, then candy, then a dress." And she said, I never had a better President's Day in all of my life. You know, when we love someone unconditionally, we strive our very hardest to show them that we care and that we love them. And love can be very complicated. Amen? Amen. Say amen if you can. That's right. Love can be very, very complicated. So we've been doing our best during the month of February to kind of flesh out this idea of love and how it functions and how it operates. So this sermon series has been entitled A Life of Love. So in week number one, in part one of our series, we talked about viewing or how we view others through the eyes of love. And part two, which was last week, which seems like probably 3 months ago, right? But in part two, we talked about the difference between love as a feeling versus love as a decision. And this morning, part three, we're going to be talking about love being unconditional. So as we're fleshing out these series and these concepts, I hope that they're sticking with you because I think that love is so important and God really wants us as His disciples to make sure that we've really got a handle on this idea of love. So first thing I want to mention this morning is that love should be unconditional or without conditions. Might go to that first slide, if you will, which basically means that there is no condition or situation that will ever make me stop loving you. And this type of love is only through God and for us. And this type of love is love that we don't see very often, but it's a type of love that God wants all of his Christians, all of his children, all the disciples to share forth to the world. Unconditional love, but unconditional love can be hard because sometimes there are conditions that makes loving someone very, very hard. I love this picture. We rarely, like I said, get to witness this type of love, but when we do, it's undeniable. Don't you love this picture right here? There's nothing like a mama's love for her sick child, right? So I don't know about you, but the sickness has been going around our house, right? So the kids go to school, they pick up some kind of cough or cold, they bring it home, and if there's siblings in the house, there's a rotation, right? And I just watch me, I stay away, but I watch Mary take care of, forgive me, I watch Mary take care of our children and the love that she gives our babies when they're sick and they're sniffling and they're having a hard time is just amazing to me, right? There's no amount of sickness, no amount of difficulty that this child can experience that would make mama stop loving this baby. Unconditional love. I usually see that amongst mothers and their children, right? I'm reminded of my sister Jasmine. I don't know if you know the story or not, but my sister Jasmine, my youngest one, is adopted. Turns out her parents were having difficulties. The mom was living a lifestyle that was contrary to the will of God. The dad was not around, so they decided to put my little baby sister Jasmine up for adoption. So my mom was there throughout the entire process, but there was a problem during the pregnancy. Jasmine was actually born premature. And I was 17 years old when my baby sister was born, and she was born premature, in so much that she only weighed, I think, 1 pound or so. And I can remember that you could actually fit her in the palm of my hand. That's how small my sister was. And her fingers were the size of a grain of rice. I'll never forget it. And I remember the first time that my mom saw Jasmine at the hospital in the incubator or that thing, and she was hooked up to all kind of monitors and stuff. My mom stayed with her the entire time. Jasmine was in the hospital for about 2 weeks. My mom was there every single day for 2 weeks, right? And she had 5 other kids. We couldn't get her to leave and look after us. She was there the entire time. And then we got to bring Jasmine home. Jasmine had underdeveloped lungs, so she was hooked up to a breathing machine. And when her breathing wasn't that strong, the machine would go off. And I remember at times that machine going off in the middle of the night and my mom waking up and we having to rush Jasmine to the hospital. My mom was there the entire time. Unconditional love. That's the type of love that God loves us with. No matter what we're going through, no matter what kind of hardships or difficulties come our way in life, he will never stop loving us. And guess what? That's the type of love that God wants us to show to other people. Unconditional love without conditions. I want to look at a passage of scripture this morning that we know very well. It's found in Romans chapter 8. So if you have your Bibles, flip to Romans chapter 8, or you can follow us along on the screen. Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39 says this: "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height nor death, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." This love is all-encompassing. It's not just for church folk, amen? It's for everybody on the face of the earth. And God is counting on us to make a difference in people's lives, church. That's why we're here. He's counting on us to make a difference. Our job is to plant seeds in the life of people, in the lives of people. Our job is to plant the seed of hope. When we see people that are down and out on their luck or experiencing hardship, it's our job to plant that seed of hope. You can do it. You can make it through. Keep your head up. Stay strong. It's our job, church, to plant the seed of kindness. Smile sometimes. But I tell you what, I've met some people in the church that look like they've been raised off of pickle juice, right? Always upset, always mad about something, right? But the Bible tells us that we've got to show people kindness. Smile every once in a while, right? Let people know it's okay. People need to see in us the seed of joy. We've got a lot of great things going on for us, don't we? If you're in Christ, you are blessed. And we need to show people that joy. That's what they need to see. They need to see compassion and empathy in us. Because that's our job, and that's what God wants us to do, church. For so long coming up, as I kind of grew up in my old fundamental days, if you will, I thought the whole idea about being a Christian was that you would come to church, make sure you worship, stayed away from sin, make sure you gave an offering in the plate, make sure you prayed and read your Bible. And if you did that, you were good to go. But we know as time progresses and as we mature in our faith, we realize that our Christianity, our discipleship is much more than that. We are called to plant seeds of love in other people's life. And the question that I have for you this morning is, how's that going for you? How well are you doing that? And we talked about it this morning in our next gen class. We've got to be careful about convicting people of sin. That sounds kind of tough. Yes, there is sin in the world. Yes, sin needs to be spoken to, but we've got to be very careful about how we convict people when it comes to sin. You see, we have something as our advantage. We have an advantage in our corner called the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit works wonders in convicting people's heart, right? Holy Spirit does that. It has some power that you may not understand. And what sick people don't need is the church continuing to tell them how sick they are. But rather, what the church needs to do is show them love, right? But so oftentimes, we as a church, we like to continue to point the finger at sick people. You're sick, you're sick, you're sick, you're sick. But what Jesus did is, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Church, if we could learn this discipline, oh my goodness, what kind of seeds might we be able to plant? You notice, if you read the Bible, that whenever Jesus spoke to sick people or people outside of the kingdom, it was always with empathy and love. You remember when Jesus would call people stiff-necked, uncircumcised, and whitewashed tombs? It was to the religious folk of the day, right? So we see Jesus kind of flipping this whole idea upside down, and I believe, church, we've got to do the same. We love people into the kingdom because God's love is for everybody. The Bible teaches us that God's love is not exclusive, but rather inclusive. Amen? That's how God loves works. That's how it works. He welcomes everybody, includes everybody. That means that if you're gay or straight or bisexual, black, white, Latino, rich, poor, you're an addict, you're a Democrat, Republican, Raiders fan, wise, foolish, God's love is for you no matter where you are in your journey of life. It's for everybody. God's love is for Christians, for Hindus, for Muslims, for Jewish. That's how big God's love is. But oftentimes we like to keep God in a box, right? God is my God through the lenses of my fellowship and of my culture. But that's not what the Bible teaches. God's love is much, much bigger, stronger, and greater than that. He's not a Church of Christ God only. He's not a Catholic Church God only. He's not a Lutheran Church God only. He is the Lord of all who live. And the sooner we start recognizing that, church, the greater things we can do for his kingdom. God's love is bigger than our theology. And I believe when we get to heaven, it won't be filled with a lot of people that look exactly like us. There might be a little diversity in heaven, which might make us, you know, maybe the person you don't like might be your neighbor in heaven, so you should probably start treating them a little bit better. And, you know, one example that I love so much about this concept of love and love unconditionally is when Jesus was crucified on the cross. You remember that story in the Bible? He was hanging on the cross, and there was two criminals crucified beside him. And one of the criminals said to him, "Jesus, I believe you are who you said you are." And you know what Jesus said to him? "It's too late. You're not getting into my kingdom. You already messed up." That's not what he said. He said, "Today, you'll be with me in paradise." Jesus came for the sick. And we often judge people based on our cultural upbringing or what they look like or their denomination or religious affiliation, but Jesus is for everybody. I heard of a story of a young guy who was really trying to flesh out his faith, so he decided to go to this very large kind of high church, if you will. High church, right? So he walked into this church, and everybody in the church had suits and ties on, three-piece, button up. Everybody was looking sharp. And he felt out of place because he came to church with blue jeans on and kind of a t-shirt, and there was a hole in his jeans. And he did something that was very unorthodox. He came and he sat on the third pew in the church. And as he kind of sat on the third pew, people were kind of looking around at him, and a couple of people made gasps. Insomuch that one of the members went up and told the pastor of the church, "Hey, you need to talk to this guy, because obviously he doesn't understand our culture." So the pastor went up to this guy in blue jeans and said, "Hey, you know what? You need to go home and you need to ask God what you should be wearing when you come to church." So the guy said, "All right, I'll do that." So the guy went home and he prayed to God. The next Sunday he came back, and guess what? He had the same clothes on, blue jeans, t-shirt, and he sat on the third pew in the church. And the pastor went up to him and said, "I told you to go home and talk to God. What happened?" He said, "I did talk to God, and God told me to talk to you because he'd never been to this church before." Right? We got to be very careful. God is much bigger than the box that we put him in. I want to look at one other story, one story that I just love so much. It's found in the book of Ruth. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Ruth. Actually, before we get there, Romans 5:8. Yes, stay there. No. Romans 5:8. This is a powerful verse that I skipped over. "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us." You see, he died for sinners. That's who he came for. When we were lost in our iniquities and in our sin, that's why he came. He died for us in all that mess. And that's something that we always need to be mindful of. Might go to the next passage. Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. You've read this story before. You know it. It's a very powerful story of unconditional love. But if you don't know this story, just kind of follow along with me. I'm going to just kind of give you a brief overview of the story. There were two individuals, two main characters in this story, really, Naomi and Ruth. Naomi had married and had two sons. And Naomi, because of the culture they lived in, often had to move with her husband to various parts of the country and the land. And that's often difficult. I don't know how many of you have had to move a lot, right? But it's often difficult being stripped away from your home and having to move a lot. But Naomi found herself in this position. Sadly, over time, Naomi's husband passed away. So she was now living as a widow. And I don't know the difficulties of living as a widow. I don't know what it's like to lose the special someone in your life that you've been married to for a very long time. But from what I understand, it hurts. And the pain is sometimes too hard to bear. On top of that, Naomi was living in a time period where widows didn't have much. They couldn't make a living for themselves oftentimes. It was very, very difficult. But what Naomi did have, she had her two sons, right? And you know, sons will take care of their mamas, or they should anyway. Amen? But over the course of time, Naomi's two sons passed away as well, tragically. And that left Naomi and her two daughters-in-law. And Naomi said to both of her daughters-in-law, you guys go ahead and try to figure out a life for yourself. Leave me be, because this condition that I'm in is so terrible that you guys can probably have a better life if you leave me and go on and try to do something else for yourself. But there was one daughter-in-law by the name of Ruth who had a different idea about this whole leaving Naomi thing. And here's what she said in Ruth chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. But Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. Oh, my goodness. Ruth said to Naomi, there is no condition on this earth that is ever going to make me stop loving you unconditionally. Powerful story. They weren't even related blood-wise. But Ruth said, I'm going to stick it out with you because I love you that much. And because of that decision, you remember what happened later on in the story. Ruth, later on, ended up marrying Boaz, who was very, very wealthy. Cha-ching, right? I'm messing. I'll repent later. Cha-ching! Very, very wealthy. Over time, Ruth and Boaz had a child, and the Bible says that Naomi got to raise that child as her own. You see the blessings that occur as a result of love, not to mention that even through this relationship, the lineage of Christ came along. Powerful. Love can do some powerful things if we can just learn to love one another unconditionally. And that's what God wants from us. I want to look at this last slide this morning. You actually may recognize this couple. I told them I was going to bother them this morning. Last night, we had a wonderful wedding. There was Chris Ann, the beautiful bride, and then this hard-headed Marine, Brian, right? they had a wonderful marriage ceremony, wedding last night, and I actually got to officiate the wedding, which was awesome. And whenever you officiate a wedding, what you see is you see two souls coming together, pledging their love. And they say they're going to love each other unconditionally for as long as they live. And I got to read some vows yesterday. And this morning, I want to read those again. And just listen to the verbiage here, because I think it's so powerful. You don't have to do it again, don't worry. All right. We took care of it the first time. Do you, Brian, take Chris Ann to be your wife, to live together after God's ordinance in this holy estate of matrimony? Will you love her, comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, for richer, for poorer, for better, for worse, for in sadness and in joy, to cherish her continually? Bestow upon her your heart's deepest devotion, forsaking all others and keeping yourself only unto her as long as you both shall live. Know what Brian said? You got it. He said, I do. And then we did the same thing with Chris Ann. And what they did yesterday is they pledged and promised to love each other for the rest of their lives unconditionally, which means no matter how many times Brian gets on her nerves, she's going to love him anyway. I get to pick on Brian. He's Marine, right? She's going to continue to love him, and vice versa. Love each other until the point of death. And some would even say, even then more after that. Did you not know that when you became a Christian, you pledged that same kind of love toward God? You said, Lord, I'm going to love you unconditionally for the rest of my life. But guess what? There was also a part B. And what you said to the Lord is, you know what, Lord? I'm going to love others unconditionally until you call me home. And the question again that I have for you this morning is, how well are you doing with that? I hope you're doing well. But guess what? If you're not, you've got this opportunity. We have a song of invitation selected. And this song of invitation is kind of tradition, but really, it's for a purpose. We want you to come forward. And if you've fallen short in the area of love and you've put conditions and you've made mistakes, this invitation is for you. You can come forward and say, Lord, I've made mistakes. I haven't been loving others as you have loved me, and I'm sorry. I need to do better in that area. Or maybe this morning you're not a Christian and you haven't pledged unconditional love to God through your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. This morning, once you make that commitment, come forward and do that. Put Jesus Christ in baptism. Be added to the church. And I guarantee you, your life will never be the same. Whatever your needs or concerns are, won't you come this morning together while we stand and sing?